Hello again, friends. This is Paul Scharf, Church Ministries representative with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. It's my great delight to come to you today in our online Bible study here on sermonaudio.com, where I'm so grateful that you've joined me and meet me here on a regular basis. You can also, of course, get together with me on my Facebook page. Invite you to like that page and check in often there. We're in the midst of a Bible study series called Prophetic Lessons from the Coronavirus Crisis. And this is really going to be, if you will, sort of the final introductory lesson. I know some of you are saying, boy, that took long enough, because this is 18, in number 18 in our series. And, you know, we've talked about the coronavirus crisis, but after this lesson, we're really going to get into some nuts and bolts of this crisis and lessons we can learn from it. This is sort of our final, as I say, introductory. It's not really introduction anymore, but we're laying the foundation for understanding Bible prophecy. We remember that as we understand the coronavirus crisis, we see how it illustrates prophesied future events for us right now in the time in which we're living. Boy, has that become more clear, I believe, in the months since we started all this. It's now the month of August as I record this, and that means we're really fully into the sixth month, March, April, May, June, July, and August of this crisis. And who could have imagined back in March when we were talking about the things then that seem rather simplistic and naive compared to all that has happened since? Who could have imagined what would unfold? And that's why we must have the solidly biblical and prophetic perspective that we're attempting to gain. I trust that you will pray with me for wisdom and search the scriptures for that wisdom so that we can have that kind of a perspective on the times in which we live. God has placed us here for such a time as this. And we remember that Jesus spoke in Matthew 24:7 about an event that would happen when nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And at this same time, there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, we have seen that the coronavirus crisis is not the fulfillment of this prophecy. It's a foreshadowing. It's a picture. I believe we're seeing the Lord God setting the stage for events to come in the future. But this is not yet the fulfillment. This is, again, it's a glimpse of what will happen. It's an illustration. It's a gigantic visual aid. As Mark Hitchcock says, perhaps it's the final wake-up call for this world. It's a, I call it a practice run for the coming tribulation. So friends, it's time to wake up. If you or your loved one has never believed the gospel that Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came into this world, became also man, came to die on the cross for your sins. In your place, he rose again from death after doing that great work, saying, "It is finished." He who knew no sin became sin for us, for me, for you, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took your sin, he offers his righteousness to be placed in your account in God's eternal record-keeping system, if you will trust that he died in your place for your sins and he rose again. And if you believe in Christ alone, by faith alone, and receive by grace alone the gift he offers of eternal life in heaven and forgiveness of sin, this is salvation, friends. This is the time to believe that message for yourself and to share it with others. And this is the same Jesus who gives us these prophetic words. He is, of course, the greatest of all prophets, and he is the Savior, and he is the Messiah of Israel. Well, how do we know these things are not taking place now in coronavirus, and when will the things that Jesus spoke about actually be fulfilled? Dr. Reynold Showers, the late great Bible teacher for the Friends of Israel, now with the Lord, said that the beginning of birth pangs, and that's another way of translating this, Matthew 24:8, the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pangs, birth pains of a woman who is preparing to deliver a child, the beginning of birth pangs will take place. This is part of those birth pangs, the pestilences that will occur in various places. It will take place, Dr. Showers said, during the first half of the tribulation. Notice, not before it. It's not going to happen today. We know we're not in the tribulation yet because the rapture hasn't happened. The tribulation hasn't begun. And so it won't be before the tribulation or during the second half. It's going to be during the first half, at the beginning of the tribulation. A wonderful resource for you to consider, the Moody Bible Commentary, here in the notes in Matthew 24. Speaking of these birth pangs, these beginning of sorrows, they refer to events early in the tribulation period, the commentary says, the seal judgments, that would be of Revelation 6, and indicate that other eschatological events with greater severity will follow them before the end. All right? Now, Jesus said, again, there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. That's the word that many have hung on to see if the coronavirus fits it. Well, it's coronavirus is just the warm-up, just the illustration, just the foreshadowing, just the setting of the stage, just the sign of the times of things that are ahead. Those pestilences will be far worse, friends, when, during the first half of the tribulation, before things intensify and get even much worse. Now, a parallel passage to Matthew 24 is not only Luke 21, but as we have seen, it's Revelation 6. The seals that are unleashed, the first four seals are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The white horse, Revelation 6, 1 and 2. The fiery red horse, Revelation 6, 3 and 4. The Black Horse, Revelation 6, 5 and 6. We've covered all this, friends, in previous lessons. I encourage you to go back and check those and review it or watch them if you have not yet. Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. Finally, the Pale Horse. And it's in this Pale Horse that we find a parallel to the idea of pestilence. And the English Standard Version translates, I looked and behold a pale horse, John said, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. That word pestilence there in ESV is a rather free translation, an interpretive translation. The word is literally death. They will kill with death. But the ESV there takes the liberty of sort of interpreting. And in so doing, it's helpful for sake of illustration, if nothing else, to show how it's telling us this will be death by pestilence. And so we can see how Matthew 24, the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pains, Luke 21, these we find a very significant parallel here in the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the first four of the seal judgments. And since we have a parallel here to from the Olivet Discourse to the book of Revelation and the seal judgments, therefore, and again, as we have seen in past previous lessons, we can therefore set the timing, understand securely where these events lie. And as Dr. Showers said, it's not before the tribulation, it's not before the rapture, it's not at the second half of the tribulation, it's in the first half of the tribulation, as this chart from LaHaye and Ice so clearly illustrates for us. And so, dear friends, as we consider this place where this pestilence will occur, as the seven seals are opened and these judgments are poured on the earth, and we've gone through Revelation 6 in the past. Again, I encourage you to go back and check those previous lessons. We are amazed at these things that will happen in the future as the birth pains, the birth pangs, are intensifying during the time of the tribulation. In fact, notice what the Jeremiah Study Bible says here regarding these birth pains, the beginning of sorrows. The war is ethnic and territorial conflicts, famines, epidemics, and widespread earthquakes that Jesus mentioned will not signal the end, he says. As we've seen, they're merely the beginning of sorrows, birth pangs. These troubles will form the backdrop for what will come, and they will increase in intensity when Christ's return draws near. Again, from the Jeremiah Study Bible. And further, Matthew 24 and 25, it says, have nothing to do with the rapture specifically, but everything to do with what will occur immediately before Christ comes to set up his kingdom. And the MacArthur Study Bible has a very helpful note here in this regard as well. It says, by calling these the beginning of labor pains, Christ, he indicated that things will get notably and remarkably worse at the end of the era. And as Jesus spoke in Luke 21:11, there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Friend, I've already told you how you can be ready so that you do not have to face this time. You can be already with Christ in heaven when these things take place on the earth, if you will trust in him as your Savior today. If you aren't trusting in him, if you don't trust in him, by the way, there's really no way for you to prepare otherwise. You're going to be on the earth without any way to prepare. What a horrible thing to be in that day, left behind. I trust that today you will have a new encouragement, intensity, focus, and peace and joy as you attempt to live and navigate this troubled world with the incredible message we have. God has placed us here again for such a time as this to take the message during this hour before Christ returns. Dear friend, thank you for joining me. It's a wonderful joy to have you as part of our study. Next time, as I said, we're going to turn the corner and we're going to really begin delving into this crisis and thinking about some specifics from the crisis that picture future events, illustrate them for us, and what we can learn from what we're seeing now that gives us insights as we apply the scriptures so that we can have wisdom for living in these incredible days. May God bless you until then, give you a wonderful opportunity this week, this Lord's Day, to serve him, to praise him, and to bless others. Thank you again, friends, and God bless you.